Road of Life, brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. In a way, divorce is like death. It's an ending, definite and final. For Carol Brent, the realization that she has taken the initial step toward divorcing her husband is not easy to accept. The thought that Jim will no longer be a part of her does not set well. It didn't from the very first moment the divorce was agreed upon. But human nature being as stubborn as it is, Carol Brent took her daughter and entrained for Reno. In order to visit a favorite aunt and uncle, she stopped over en route to Reno at Hanover, Iowa. Here she spent the holidays. And here, at 5:30 of a winter's afternoon, she sits in the darkened parlor of the Bowman's house, moving slowly back and forth in a rocker, alone with what thoughts she chooses to call her own.
Carol?
Carol!
Oh, hello, Aunt Ellen.
Why, you're sitting in the dark. Is something the matter, dear?
Tell the truth, I didn't realize it was getting dark. I've just been sitting here, rocking and...
And thinking?
Yes. And thinking.
Well, you mind if I turn on the lamp now?
Why, no, of course not.
There.
Oh, my eyes.
Oh, they'll get used to the light in a minute.
Good heavens, it must be late, Aunt Ellen.
No, not so awfully. It's about 5:30, that's all. But it gets dark early now, you know. You all finished packing?
Oh, but the baby's grip. I thought I could do that at the last minute.
We'll miss Janie, Carol. Oh, of course we'll miss you too, dear, but... Oh, my, it's been such a joy having a child in the house. Uncle Sid and I love her so much.
She feels the same way about you folks.
There's something about the laughter of children that's... Oh, it's a wonderful sound. The house will seem empty now without it.
Maybe you'll invite us back for another visit, Aunt Ellen. I promise you we'll come if you do.
Why end this visit, Carol?
Well, I do have to go. It isn't that I wouldn't like to stay, but...
Oh, that's nonsense. You don't have to go to Reno if you don't want to. The fact is, you've no business going to that place.
I'm sorry, Aunt Ellen, but my mind's made up.
Well, if you'll forgive me for contradicting you, Carol, I think your mind is completely mixed up, not made up. If I've ever seen anyone in a muddle, it's you.
I don't know what makes you think that.
Well, if you're interested in knowing, I'll tell you. Ever since you've been here in Hanover, you've spent hours and hours staring out of windows, into fireplaces, up at ceilings, and, oh, just out into space generally. You haven't heard people around you talking, and you haven't even cared.
But that doesn't mean that
Don't you tell me what it means. It means that you're here, but your mind and heart are in Chicago with Jim.
No.
You don't act the way a woman should who's getting a divorce. That's what I'm saying.
Aunt Ellen... All of us aren't cut out of the same cloth. Each of us reacts differently to various situations. It's a fact, Aunt Ellen. There are such things as individual differences, you know.
Don't you try to cover my eyes with a lot of those highfalutin words.
But...
Women in love with their men are the same the whole world over.
I don't want to argue with you, Aunt Ellen. Please believe me that I
can't believe you, dear, because you don't know what to believe yourself. That's the trouble with you young women today. Your husband comes home late for dinner one night and you go off to Reno for a divorce because the potatoes were ruined.
Oh, now, really, Aunt Ellen.
Well, that's about what it amounts to. Why are you laughing? Are you getting a divorce for more sensible reasons?
It's not one reason. I'm taking this step for a great many reasons.
And they are?
They... Well, sometimes things like that just can't be discussed, Aunt Ellen. Jim doesn't need me anymore. He's got his work. He's getting along fine with it. Our married life during the last year or so hasn't been pleasant, shall we say. It's been an accumulation of arguments, bickering, misunderstanding, unhappiness.
Oh, sure. I don't care if you are my own niece. You're looking for sympathy, and you're not going to get it from me.
Sympathy?
That's right. You've always been spoiled, Carol. When you can't get exactly what you want, it's too bad.
But, Aunt Ellen, don't you see?
I see a lot more than you do. You're leaving a fine husband, and what you need's a good spanking. I tell you more, but I've got to go in and see about dinner.
Although Carol believes that what she said about Jim is true, there is something which has taken place in Chicago since she has left that changes a large part of her argument. It's Carol's contention that Jim has his work and that he's getting along fine with it. The facts, however, are different in Chicago. A nurse, young and extremely frightened, named Miss Regan, opens the door to Grant Frazier's office, to which she has been summoned by the chief of staff himself.
Dr. Frazier.
Ah, Miss Regan. Here, sit down, won't you? Come now, none of this doctor and nurse formality in here, Miss Regan. All right. I've been wanting to have a talk with you, Miss Regan.
I think I know what you want to say, Doctor. I imagine you're angry with me because I allowed Dr. Brent to take that ambulance patient up to surgery after you asked that he be left in the corridor.
Hmm.
Well, I can explain that, Dr. Frazier. I can explain everything very simply. You see, after you suggested that the accident case be left there for a while, Dr. Brent came
My
by.
My dear Miss Regan, I'm rather pleased to hear you say that I suggested the accident case be left in the corridor for only a while. Certainly you must have realized that I intended to return immediately.
Well, I...
You did understand that I planned to come back shortly, didn't you, Miss Regan? Well, let's not bother to discuss that matter anymore. You see, I really didn't call you down here to discuss what you seem to be worrying over.
Oh, you didn't?
Hardly. The reason I asked you to come down here this afternoon was to talk to you about a promotion. Promotion, that is, for you.
A promotion?
If you're willing to accept it.
Why, Dr. Frazier, I don't know how to thank you. I'm sure I haven't done anything to deserve it.
You haven't allowed me to finish what I started to say.
I'm sorry.
Good nurses, I happen to be one who puts you in that category, are rather difficult to find these days. So in spite of your youth, I'm able to make you this offer. Would you consider working out of Chicago, Miss Regan?
You mean someplace like Evanston or Oak Park?
Oh, no, my dear. I mean quite a few hundred miles out of Chicago.
Where?
A very dear friend of mine, chairman of the board of trustees of Boston General Hospital, wrote asking if I could recommend someone to take over the position of chief supervisor of nurses in his institution. I should have wired my recommendation long before this. As it stands now, if you want the position, and by the way, it's a rather lucrative one, you'll have to make up your mind almost instantly, leave for Boston tomorrow, or tonight if possible. You live here in the hospital, don't you, Miss Regan?
Yes, sir.
I don't imagine you have much to pack.
I haven't.
I don't like to influence your decisions, Miss Regan, but this is an opportunity that doesn't come along very often.
I understand that, Dr. Frazier.
Then would it be possible for you to give me your answer now?
Yes, sir.
Well?
I'll take it.
Excellent.
Dr. Frazier, I want to thank you ever so much for giving me this opportunity. It's all happened so suddenly that I don't quite know what to say. Except that I'm eternally grateful for what you've done for me.
Not at all. I don't want you to think about it, Miss Regan. What I expect you to do now is to go to your quarters, pack, make what reservations you can for the East. I'll explain matters to your supervisor here, and I'll also wire Boston to expect your arrival.
Yes, sir.
All right, Miss Regan, you run along now and call me when you've made your reservations.
Yes, Dr. Frazier. I'll call you as soon as they're made. And thank you again.
You don't know how happy I am to do it. That's right, that's the door out.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Miss Regan. Miss Gray.
Yes, Doctor?
Come right in. Sit down, please. I'm going to dictate a rather lengthy memorandum. Ready?
Yes, sir.
It's addressed to the staff and board of trustees of City Hospital. The subject matter is charges of expulsion from the staff of this hospital of James Brent, M.D. Got that, Miss Gray?
Yes, Doctor.
Grounds for the dismissal of Dr. Brent may be found in an inexcusable and irrevocable breach of ethics of the medical profession. In an operating room of this hospital, Dr. Brent, without cause or reason, deliberately and maliciously struck another doctor was engaged in inquiry.
Expulsion charges brought against Jim by Dr. Frazier. If ever he needed the strength which a wife can lend to her husband, it's now. Now, when his private life is already shattered. Now, when his professional life is in danger of being smeared and discredited. You know, no one likes to miss out on a good thing. That's why you should Duzz your dishes. Now, I've told you Duzz is best. It Duzz everything in your wash. Well, in the dishpan, too, Duzz everything. You see, ladies...
Ladies? How about talking to us men? I do dishes sometimes.
Oh, well, then, brother, Duzz them. This new kind of wash day soap Duzz everything for dishes. Duzz gives you suds that stand up till the last dish is done, fast action on grease, plus greater kindness to hands.
I don't get it.
You will when you see Duzz in action. This new kind of soap bursts into suds the instant water hits it. Suds that really stand up so you don't keep reaching for more soap.
Oh, I get you.
Duzz cleans up sticky frying pans in a hurry, too. Cuts the toughest grease without hard scouring.
Nice going.
Yet Duzz is kinder to hands than any other leading wash day soap.
Well, I don't exactly care.
Oh, but the ladies do. Because Duzz leaves their hands wonderfully smooth.
Some soap.
You said it, mister. Start Duzzing your dishes, ladies. You'll find in the dishpan, too. Duzz everything. Be sure to listen tomorrow when D.U.Z. Duzz will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Duzz, the soap that Duzz everything in your wash. Fight waste at your sink and sink the axis. When you do dishes, don't waste soap. Soap contains war materials.